Tomorrow, Dan Rather relinquishes his anchor's chair at the CBS Evening News, where he's reigned for 24 years. He'll become a full-time reporter for the weekday edition of 60 Minutes. Our critic at large, John Powers, tells us why he's going to miss Dan Rather.
The first time I ever saw Dan Rather in person was during the 1988 Democratic Convention. I was covering a Jesse Jackson rally when the crowd suddenly began buzzing. I glanced to my left, and there he was, looking exactly like, well, Dan Rather. Except for one thing. He was smaller in person than he was in my head. 17 years later, Rather is stepping down from his anchorman spot at CBS. His departure hastened by the bad document scandal surrounding his report on President Bush's National Guard service. He leaves plagued by low ratings, a snippy New Yorker article which revealed that even Mike Wallace doesn't watch the CBS newscast, and the glee of conservatives, who have long considered him the most unrepentantly liberal of the anchors. Why, there's even a website named ratherbiased.com. I can understand the complaints against him. I myself rarely watch his newscast these days, and I do think he's a liberal. An old-fashioned Humphrey Bogart liberal who instinctively takes the side of whoever he thinks is the little guy. But you know, I'm going to miss Dan Rather, and I'd wager the folks at ratherbiased.com will too, for he's been one of the most enjoyably fascinating figures in our pop mythology for the last 40 years. Although the right now treats him as part of the liberal elite, the Texas-born Rather didn't come from privilege. He had a childhood that was actually far harsher than, say, Bill O'Reilly's, and he attended far-from-elite Sam Houston State Teachers College. He worked his way up as a hard-nosed reporter. He was brave in Vietnam. He got slugged on the floor of the 1968 Democratic Convention, and he became renowned for his verbal skirmishes with Richard Nixon. "Are you running for something?" the president once snidely asked him at a press conference. "No," Rather shot back. "Are you?" We don't have press conferences like that anymore. It was Rather's great dream to assume Walter Cronkite's mantle as the most trusted man in America. That's one reason he notoriously went soft the night Nixon resigned. He was trying to reclaim the mainstream. And in 1981, he got the CBS anchor job over colleague Roger Mudd, defying the doubts of those who thought he lacked the gravitas of Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow, the presiding saint of CBS News. Of course, it's habitual to assume that today's big media figures lack the dimension of those who came before. I remember how my parents thought Johnny Carson a soulless showbiz replacement for Jack Parr, and how Clint Eastwood was once reckoned a well-built mannequin propped up by spaghetti westerns. But the years turned them into icons of grace and maturity. Things didn't work out quite that way for Rather. It's the tragicomedy of his career that he yearned for a role, the godlike voice of the nation, that no longer existed. The 60s attacks on authority were soon extended to journalism. Cable rose up to challenge the big three broadcast networks, and the network's owners began slashing news budgets in search of more profits. Rather himself played a part in all this. Even as he publicly groused about management turning news into entertainment, he demanded and got the huge salary of an entertainer. But even if there were such a thing as most trusted voice in the news, Rather would never have been it. For unlike canny, self-possessed Tom Brokaw, who skillfully wrapped himself in the triumphs of the greatest generation, Rather was always, well, slightly batty. Who can forget Dan's greatest hits? Donning Gunga Din robes in Afghanistan, leaving 6 minutes of dead air in a huff over a tennis broadcast, wearing those sweaters, and ending his newscasts with the word courage. It wasn't Peter Jennings who inspired an R.E.M. song by being mugged by a guy who asked, "Kenneth, what is the frequency?" And I'll bet you can't imagine Walter Cronkite mouthing those delirious Ratherisms, like calling the Michigan primary tighter than Willie Nelson's headband, or observing, and I quote, "If a frog had side pockets, he'd probably wear a handgun." Say what? Part of what I've always loved about Rather is the way that the man who longs to be the voice of the American people doesn't have a clue about how wildly eccentric he actually is. Paradoxically, this makes him a touchingly American fantasy figure, one of those oversized originals like Orson Welles, Marilyn Monroe, or Dennis Rodman, whose talents and dreams don't comfortably fit into the conventional slots the world has to offer. Like him or not, Dan Rather has always showed us his soul. And without him, CBS News is going to seem flatter than the Texas Panhandle after a twister blows down the last outhouse. Courage, Dan. Courage.
Joan Powers is film critic for Vogue and author of Sore Winners.